Good morning, church. I'm not going to be bringing the message this morning, so you can relax. There have been a lot of things that we have missed during our time of social isolation, gathering together and worshiping, singing, listening to songs of praise is one of them. If you would, please stand as I read the text for the message this morning. The text is found in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25 through 34. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe the lilies of the field. They grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. Speak to our hearts. Reveal your truth to us, Heavenly Father, and may we be obedient to you and serve you with a loving heart. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good to see all of you guys here this morning. You notice a little bit of difference about the setup of the building. Every row is available. So you don't have to worry, am I on the right row or whatever? You can sit on every row that's here. We had just someone to give us some real insight about the seating arrangement. And so we pulled out some rows and brought some closer together. You're still spaced well. It's about 6 feet from row to row. And we were able to add about 117 more chairs in here. So I'm grateful for that. We can grow in our attendance. Isn't that great? So all of you who are looking online, when you feel ready to come back, we're ready for you. And we're glad to have all of you here this morning. I want us to open God's Word, if you haven't already. Dan read to us from Matthew chapter 6 this morning, which is the text. And I said something last Sunday about the days that we're in. And if you'll notice, the message title is Disruptive Moments Are Divine Appointments. In the life of every child of God, there is a plan always at work. God is always working. He never stops, Jesus says. He works all the time. And God is always up to something, always has a plan working. And in everything that happens in my life, in your life, and in this world around us, God is using that to speak to you and me because we are His children and He's getting us ready for eternity. And so there are things that God is pouring into us all the time. And so if you'll look in your life point outline, you'll notice the message question is this: God is speaking. what have you heard? God is speaking, and what have you heard? See, we're beginning to move out of isolation a little bit and move back towards some kind of semblance of normalcy, whatever that's going to be after all that we've been going through. And so I want you to look at this first truth in your outline this morning, and that is there's a danger in these days of disruptive moments that God's purpose will be missed. That I get so caught up in what's going on around me that I am controlled by fear and worry and dread, and I'm not calm and I'm not at peace within myself, so that I can say, Father, in these days, what is it that you're wanting to say to me? It was a couple of weeks ago that Catherine and I had a conversation. This was back really when we were still huddling at home, and you know, everybody was not getting out very much. And I was doing most of the getting out and going, which was fine with me. I didn't mind doing that. But Catherine and I just got talking about that and just about, you know, this some fear that she was feeling and just unsettledness and about not wanting to get out. And so, you know, it's just the Lord working inside of me. So we just sat down and I said, sweetheart, you know, this is the thing. I said, God's will for us is that we not live in fear. Hasn't God already said in His Word not to be afraid? We're not to live in fear. And He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, sound mind. So God says, I have not created you. I've not had my Son die on the cross for you to lose all sense of togetherness in the midst of whatever happens on this earth. You are important to me enough that my Son died for you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that a promise? And so God simply says, I don't want you controlled by fear. You do what is wise, but you don't live in fear. And so I told Catherine, I said, that's how you and I are going to live our lives. When we get out, we're going to take the precautions that we feel like we need to. So when I go in stores, for the most part, I'm wearing a mask. I am. But I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. And there have been times I haven't worn a mask. Why? I didn't feel like it. You know, I'm trying not to have an attitude, but I'm just like, I don't want to wear it. And so I'm not. And so the thing is, you don't want to be controlled by that. And so that's the point of getting it. If you wear a mask every time you go out, that's fine. Just listen to what I'm saying on this. The deal is, what's going on inside of your heart that we've got to ask, Father, in these days have rattled us. And they have rattled us. They've rattled me. I am so tired of this. I'm ready for it to be over. But it doesn't look like it's going to be. And so it may get weary before it gets to the end of it. But here's the deal. God is in what? Control. Our Father's in control. And if my Father is permitting this to take place in my life to where this is the kind of days I am called upon Him to live through, then I can trust Him. God says, this is good for you. And I'm going to work this to your good. It may not be good. It's not good that so many people are dying and so many people are sick. That's not good. But God said, I will bring good to you through it if you will walk with me. Amen? That's the deal. So we say, Father, these days have rattled me. What is it that you're wanting to say to me? What do you want to say to me? And that's what's been rattling around in my brain. And so that's why we're at Matthew 6th chapter. And so let me just give you two or three thoughts this morning, and you've got the message. Number one, there's peace in worrisome times when God is your Father, when He's your Father. And I want to emphasize that, because we are nationally and personally in what you might call a time of trouble. We see the riots taking place. It kind of reminds us of several years back, doesn't it? The riots in California. You see things taking place, the burning of the buildings and all of that. So we hear that. You also hear reports about people that are having trouble sleeping, people talking to me at different times that they maybe wrestle with anxiety attacks and certainly fighting depression, worrying about finances. How's my money going to hold out? Is my job going to stay when so many people are being, you know, laid off work? Here's the next truth in our outline this morning. This is all about I'm wanting you to just say, Lord, is this what you're saying to me? Okay? Because I think this is one of his messages. I've got three messages this morning. There are others, but here's the three. But I think God is saying that he wants us to understand him about battling fear. But the truth is, in a time of trouble, the place to go is the Word of God. We go to the Word. And what I've seen is there are basically two responses to the trouble of our day. So we have the COVID-19, we've got the riots, we've got people laid off, we've got all these things taking place, the uncertainty. For some people, COVID-19 is just kind of like the flu. Some people don't hardly even get sick. Others die in the hospitalized on ventilators. And so you've just got a plethora of response of opportunities out there for how things can happen. And so there's two basic kinds of responses, because you've got two basic kinds of people in our world. In your notes, number one are, first of all, those we'll consider those without Christ, those without the Lord. And their primary response is going to be fear. It's going to be fear. Now, you look back in the Old Testament, Job chapter 5 and verse 7, Job, one of his friends was Eliphaz, and he made this statement, and he was right when he said it. He said, man is born for what? Trouble, as sparks fly upward. So as sparks just fly up intermittently from a wood fire, if you got a wood-burning fireplace, you see those sparks fly up here, there, and everywhere. It's happening all the time. God's Word says that's our lives with regards to trouble. It is a sure thing, I'm going to have trouble, and you're going to have trouble. It is a part of life. It is certain, and it is relentless. And so, therefore, what that means is, and this is what God wants us to understand, he says, just understand, life is dangerous. And really, there's nothing more certain in life than that we're going to die. There's a lot of things we don't know. And remember, I've got the spirit of encouragement, so I'm seeking to build you up. There's nothing really that we know, that all of us know, is a pure certainty in life, except we're going to die. We know that. Nobody gets out alive, right? We're all going to die. And it is especially fearful for somebody who has no hope and no consciousness of protection from God, that when death comes, everything is going to be all right with me, because I live in a body and you live in a body that is perishing. I look in the mirror all the time, and I'm seeing Weston Green day by day, and I'm like, I'm becoming my dad. And I'm seeing it, you know, and it's taking place, and this is just like unbelievable. And so I see myself on that march toward the grave. I see that happening on me. And so that's just one of the things that you know is going to happen in this life. Nothing is more certain than that. But it is also very alarming for people who have no hope and no protection in God. I'll never forget back in the days of 9/11, Larry King's show. Larry had a nationally known pastor on there, and this was Larry's question to him right after 9/11. He said, what is the lesson in all of this? And the pastor looked at him, and that question was just kind of hanging in the air. And the pastor looked at him, and with keen biblical insight, This is what he said, and this is a quote. He said, the lesson is everybody's going to die, and you're not necessarily in control of when. And that's exactly right. I mean, isn't that the lesson of 9/11? All those people went out into eternity, and they were absolutely not in control of that. So here's a statistic that'll kind of make you set up and take notice in my reading, and that is 1 billion people have died in wars on this planet, as far as they can tell, to this point. 1 billion. That's with a B. 60 million people worldwide die every year. 60 million. Now, in addition to the millions of people that are dying just in the natural course of life, accidents and what have you, in 1918, when my mother was 3 and my daddy was 6, 50 million people more died from the Spanish flu epidemic. 50 million more. So potentially over 100 million people died that year. But the greatest Holocaust of all time in world history, outside normal death and dying, was the Black Death in the 1300s. 75 million people died in the days of the Black Death, the bubonic plague. 75 million. John Kelly was the author of a book in 2006 entitled The Great Mortality, An Intimate History of the Black Death, the Most Devastating Plague of All Time. And in that book, and I thought about just giving you excerpts, but I thought everybody would just be in the slumps of despair when you read about that. But it wrote about husbands who abandoned their wives and parents who abandoned their dying children because of fear of the contagion. They didn't know what to do with it. And it was everywhere. And people were just dying all over the place. And so my point, you're like, Pastor, what? Why are you telling us this? The reason is, if you have been battling fear in these days, you can be grateful to God you weren't born in the 1300s. Say, Father, thank you. COVID-19, it's nothing. It's nothing compared to the Black Death. And so we can say, Father, thank you. COVID-19 is mild in comparison. Yet we live in a world of people who are cut off from eternal hope. That is the reason why you and I don't, these days remind us of the need of people. I can get caught up in my life of getting older. I can get caught up in trying to think about this and that in my life. And I can lose perspective about what's really important. Are you tracking with me? Huh? Amen. You can get caught up in the fact of raising a family, and you've got kids that you're trying to get through school. We can get caught up in so much stuff that we lose perspective of eternal importance of things, and that is the number of people all around us, many of them in our own family, who do not know the Lord Jesus. And if they die in these days, they leave this world with no hope. They face a Christless eternity, and they face divine judgment and eternal punishment from a holy God who, when you get to the place of burning hell, there is no release, ever. We who know the Lord do not respond to uncertain times like people who have no hope. Amen? We just need to be reminded. We don't respond to these days like people who have no hope. So that brings you to the second kind of people in this world, and that is those of us who have hope in Christ. This is what I want you to think about. This is a question to ask yourself. Have I been a rock and an encourager to people around me in these days? Or have I gotten on the fear bandwagon with so many other people, where we're afraid to get out? We're afraid to move around. And I'm not talking about putting yourself at risk. You understand what I'm saying? You're just so afraid, you're afraid to move, right? Yes. Okay? Or have we forgotten God's promises in these days of testing? Because His word is so clear that as his son, I've got God's divine protection. Let me just, I've given you a series of blanks down there, and these are all from the book of Psalms. I want you to just fill in those blanks. I want you just to listen to God's word, just from the Psalms, about his protection. Psalm 9, verse 9 and 10. The Lord also will be a stronghold in times of trouble, and those who put your who know your name will put their trust in you. Now listen, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Psalm 27, 4 through 6. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that shall I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. Here it is. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle, in the secret place of his tent. He will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. Amen. Psalm 32, verse 6 and 7. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you, O Lord, in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they that trust in him will not be reached by that. Listen, you are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. Now, that doesn't mean you can go out and act like a fool, like there's nothing to be careful about with regards to this disease. Do you understand that? So don't go crazy on me and have a mass burning party. Well, God gave me his promise. He's going to take care of it. Listen, you step out in front of a car, you're going to get hit. Some people say, well, you know, I just believe I can walk out in the middle of the interstate at high noon, and if it's not my time, everything will be fine. Somebody said, if you walk out in the interstate at high noon, it is your time. Don't be a fool and don't tempt God. There's a balance. What did I just give y'all? Psalm 32? All right. See, that wasn't in my notes. I lost myself. Psalm 24, verse 1 through 10. I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. Now listen, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Psalm 34, 17 through 22. The righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. God's kids don't get a free pass from trouble. But we do have a protector in difficult times that other people don't have. Psalm 37, verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. Psalm 46, verse 1 through 7. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. And lastly, Psalm 50, verse 15. Call upon me in the day of your trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will honor me. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Yes. What does that mean? Here's the insight in your outline. God is committed to care for those committed to him, that they reach the last day assigned to their earthly lives from eternity past. What am I talking about? I'm talking about Psalm 139, verse 16. You remember that? I love that passage. Your eyes saw me when I was formless in my mother's womb. And when you saw all my days were written in your book, planned before a single one of them began. Listen, before I was ever conceived in the womb of Alpha Green, God had determined the number of my days. If I would walk with him, these are my days I'm going to live out. If I'm walking in obedience to him, I will live every day that the Father has for me. It is not for God's kids to fear dying from COVID-19 or anything else. We are not to be afraid. That doesn't mean we won't get sick. But we're in His hands. God will keep you so you live out every day of His plan for your life. But here's what to note. The protection of God on our life is only promised to those who obey Him. That is very important. Let me do Leviticus chapter 26, verse 1. You shall not make for yourselves idols, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Now listen, if you walk in my statutes, keep my commandments, I will give you rain in its season, so the land will yield its produce. Thus you will eat your food to the full and live securely in your land. I shall also grant peace in the land. Verse 12, I will also walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. So the promise of the Lord to be with us because we seek to walk in obedience to Him, right? All right, but then God changes His point. In verse 14, Leviticus 26, but if you do not obey me and do not carry out all these commandments, in other words, if you don't live a life that chases after obedience to me, I will appoint over you a sudden terror, consumption, and fever that will waste the eyes and cause the soul to pine away. You will sow your seed uselessly, for your enemies will eat it up. Listen, the further we get away from the Lord personally and nationally, the more trouble is going to be happening in our lives. It doesn't mean we're not going to have trouble, but it will increase when God begins to lift His hand of blessing. So the truth in your outline, those who belong to the Lord and who walk in faithfulness to the Lord are protected by the Lord. Those who disobey God have no protector. That alone is the certainty of life. Three times in our text, because you're probably saying, Brother John, what about Matthew 6? All right, three times in our text, Jesus says two words, don't worry. Don't worry. And literally, and the difference here is in the verbs, because the verbs change all the way through that passage. Literally what Jesus said in verse 25, He said, don't worry. In verse 31, He said, if you are worrying, stop it. And then in verse 34, He says, if you're not worrying, don't start. Isn't that good? Stop worrying, all right? So God didn't make the virus. God didn't cause the virus. God gets no pleasure from the virus, but God is using this pandemic with its chaos and its forced lifestyle change to talk to you and me. And the truth in your outline, God doesn't want us worrying. He wants us listening. And I think that in these days, God has our attention like never before. And so what I'm simply saying is when tough times come and knock us maybe to our knees, the natural response when I'm knocked to my knee ought to be to get down on the other one and to say, Father, what is it that you're wanting to say to me? Has it occurred to us that God is wanting to use this time to get our attention? And I think that brings us to number two. That God is wanting to teach us not to be afraid. But number two, God is simply saying, you have misplaced your trust and you've put it in other things and maybe in finances. We are immersed in a culture. And perhaps you and I get caught up in this because we're immersed in it all the time, where we put too much hope and faith and trust in money and jobs and the economy. And what can happen is we can begin to put our trust in that. Everything's going to be all right with me as long as the economy is doing good. And God is simply saying, I don't have to necessarily use the economy to take care of you. And look at Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Jesus said, don't store up treasures on earth where moths eat them and rust destroy them, where thieves break in and steal. He said, store your treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy, thieves don't break in and steal. Then he says, wherever your treasure is, there the desire or there your heart will be also. So here's a translation in your notes. Your life and mine is either about the things of God or it's about the things of this world. You see, that's what God wants me to think about. He said, you're either living with me in mind or you're living with the world. There's really only two choices for all of us. Every one of us are either investing in eternity or we're investing in the here and now. And our hope is in this. And Jesus makes it clear. He says, one is a good investment and the other one isn't. Listen to Psalm 49, verse 20. People who boast of their wealth don't understand. They will die just like animals. Jeff Bezos, ring a bell? Should. The guy who's over Amazon. He is the richest man in the world today. He's the top dog. This past March, 2020, Jeff Bezos' wealth was $125 billion. That was in March. By May, this past May, actually May 14th, he had bumped that up to $143 billion. Here's the deal, though. You ever heard of the guy named John D. Rockefeller? Ring a bell? John D. Rockefeller died in 1937. Not born, died in 1937. John D. Rockefeller's net worth in today's terms when he died in 1937 was $400 billion. He was a guy who owned Standard Oil. He controlled the oil in the world. When he died, somebody asked his accountant, and they said, so how much did Rockefeller leave behind? And his accountant said, all of it. That's how much we leave behind. Look at the truth in your outline. The day approaches when God is going to recall our soul, and you and I will give an account of how we've lived. That's Luke 12. Verse 16, a rich man had a fertile farm with produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. And he said, I know, I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger ones. I'll have enough room then to store all my wheat and other goods. I was just looking for more and more here. And I'll sit back and I'll say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said to him, you fool. This very night, your soul is required of you. And Jesus said, yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship toward God. And God simply says that I am foolish if I do not turn my riches toward Him and have put His value, His work above everything else. Look in your outline. The question, do you and I have a misplaced trust in finances? Could God be saying to you and me in these days when we're just shut down, could God be saying, I want you to hear me, money isn't everything, and that's what you're beginning to act like. That it's all about that. Life and eternity is about following me and investing in my enterprises on earth. Life is about getting ready to stand before me. That's why we encourage on the Hill about tithing. And that's just kind of a baseline. That we're just going to give 10% of everything that we make back to the Lord. We want to invest in missions worldwide. That we want to be listening to the Lord. Because God is simply saying, this is not all there is. There's so much more for us to be living for. We've got the Life Outreach Center over here that God just raised up and just basically laid in our lap. We've got the food pantry where we seek to minister to people who have food deprivation. There is a need for us to be praying for those people who are hurting and who struggle. So there's a prayer ministry there. There's also the thing for us to develop. We need to develop to where we are helping people break the cycle of poverty. Continuing to give people food isn't helping them. Does that make sense? Y'all looking at me like, what? It's helping them today. What we need to do is to help them realize there is a God in heaven who can help them, not need me to help them all the time. To give them the self-dignity that I can do better. And there are people that we can help with that. There's church planting in America. That's why we're giving to Resonate Church in Pullman, Washington. They had over 300 baptisms this year of these kids coming into college who have never been in church before. And they're giving their lives to Christ. And many of these young men are becoming pastors and becoming church planters. Those are the things for us to be giving to. That's why we're givers here on the Hill. That's where we're investing. We put $100,000 on the West Coast to help build the church and to plant churches on those college campuses. So let me close with this in the closing moments. There's number three, I think God is saying, there's an overemphasis in our lives on the physical. It's all about how we're spending our money, where our look is on that, but an emphasis on the physical. So the question in your notes is this: could God be saying to us that we've been making this physical life everything without any sense of living in light of eternity? This is one of the examples that I read in doing my studying in that. And it's regard to what Jesus taught in Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And so listen to me for just a moment. Watch this. So if we started like here and we just created a line, and this line is a straight line, and it goes out that way and it goes that way, goes through the wall, goes across parking lots, across over here, and just keeps going and going. And instead of going around the earth, it keeps going straight. It just goes out over the horizon. It goes past all the planets. It goes past our universe. It goes all the way out into eternity that way. And it is a never-ending line. It never stops. All right, what is that? That line represents eternity. Now, if you come back and you take a pen, and on this line anywhere, you just do like that. Just make a little etch, a little scratch right there. That scratch is me. It's you. You and I are just a scratch on this line called eternity. That's my life and your life in its totality. That is my total life. Whether I live 80 years or 90 or 100, it's just that scratch on eternity. So look at your insight and your outline. Most people are living scratch lives, making the scratch everything. And what God wants us to know, he said, anybody with any kind of sense would live their lives in light of the line. I live my life in light of the line. That's eternity. Not the scratch. And so could God be saying to you in these quarantine days that he doesn't want you living like that? This is not our focus. Look at the insight. COVID-19 is God's tool to remind us how fragile life is and how fragile lives are to be lived. How I'm supposed to live my life. So let me close with one more story. There's a biography. I would love to have the book. It's out of print, and I'm going to keep looking for it, but I'd love to have it. It's a biography of William Borden, and it's entitled Borden of Yale. You say, how do you spell that? Borden, like Borden milk, because that's exactly what I'm talking about. This young man went to Yale after graduation, and he became a missionary candidate to China. He was heir to the Borden Dairy Estate, and by high school graduation, Bill Borden, William Borden, was a millionaire, and he was given a graduation gift of a trip around the world. When he was in Asia, Middle East, and Europe, he got a burden for this lost world, and he wrote home, and these are his words because they have them recorded. He said, I am giving my life for foreign missions. And in the back of his Bible, at that point, William Borden wrote two words, no reserves, or no reservation. Right? Holding nothing back. He came home, he went to Yale, And during his first semester, he began a movement in the student body that they would meet together and read and study the Bible and pray. At the end of his first year at Yale School, Bill Borden had 150 fellow freshmen who met weekly with him to study the Bible. And by his senior year, 1,000 of the 1,300 student body population was meeting weekly for Bible study. After graduation, he turned down high-paying jobs to pursue his life calling. And at this point, he recorded that he wrote two more words in the back of his Bible. And underneath those two words, no reserves, Bill Borden wrote in, no retreat. He just simply was saying, regardless of the obstacles, my course is set. No retreat. I will not go back. He began studies at Princeton and was ordained to the ministry. And at graduation, he set sail for China with the China Inland Mission, stopping first in Egypt to study Arabic. While in Egypt, Bill Borden contracted cerebrospinal meningitis. And at the age of 26, Bill Borden was dead. Before he died, knowing that he would go no further in his calling, he wrote two more words in his Bible. No reservation, no retreat. And the last two words, seeing he was going to die, he said, no regret. No regret. What is God up to in these days? What is our Father saying to us? Ladies and gentlemen, God is getting us into the mode that we are to be in all the days of our life. What is the mindset? What's the mind? That at any time and on any day, you and I are ready to leave this life because we don't know when. We're ready to leave, and we're ready to stand before the God of all the earth and say, Father, I sought to my dying day. My goal was to be obedient to you and to do what you wanted me to do with my life. That's God's message for today. That's his word. Let's bow together, would you please? Father in heaven, we thank you for this word. Thank you, God, for the comfort of Scripture, that you are in our days, that nothing happens by chance in the life of a child of God. You are watching over us, and you've got a plan, and you want us to hear you, that we will always be in the mode because of the way that we live, that we're ready to die. We're ready at any time to come home and to stand before you and give an account. And if we're not totally ready, that on our last day, we were living in such a way that we wanted to be ready. Our heart was right with you. And so, God, thank you for today, for having our attention, for helping us understand what you're saying to us in these days. You love us. You care for us. In this uncertain world we live in, there is a plan working, and we can be at peace knowing we will live every day that's been assigned to us from eternity past if we walk with you, serve you, and our answer to you is always yes. And we bless you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen.